Oh, it's good to see you. Do I look a little different? Have I lost weight? Have I gained an undefeated national championship? I swear to God, I feel like my life's a little different. I know that's a ridiculous thing for an older man to say, but I feel like my life is actually a little different than it was when we last saw each other. That's how special of a night of football that was in Miami, and we will get to that. I have some cool pictures to show you. I have some really cool video that I can promise you you have never seen before because it was shot from a buddy of mine who was down on the field, and it has not been disseminated by the media yet. So I've got an awful lot of cool stuff and stories to show you. But as always, let me say thank you for being here. We will talk about Indiana and my trip to Miami here in a minute, but we need to talk about whenever I leave the Bay Area, there's guaranteed Bay Area news to break. And Robert Saleh moving on from the 49ers feels like chief among that. If you're a Warriors fan, obviously Jimmy Butler's torn ACL. I'm gone for 48, not even 72 hours, and two major things happen. One expected, one very unfortunate. We knew that Robert Saleh was going to be moving on after the year he just gave the 49ers. Surprised by the destination. Hope he enjoys that time there. Hope he gets a lot more patience you're gonna need some patience. That's a big turnaround in Tennessee. But it is Wednesday, January 21st. And we got a lot to get into because the 49ers offseason has officially begun. And what they have in front of them is a Herculean task. There is an awful lot that they need to focus on here. Thank you again for being here. Oh, someone says my mic doesn't sound like it is on. Are you serious? What the hell's going on with that? Microphone? What is the deal? Why are we having microphone problems? Let's see. Boom. Are we good? Have you got me? Is it better now? Hopefully it's better now. How are we sounding up here? There is an awful lot they need. All right. The computer mic was on and not the good one. You can hear me, but do you hear me good? Does it hear me well? See, I leave for 1 minute and it's a freaking disaster. Hold on. Sounds hollow. Not yet. I think I've changed things. Let me see. Pardon me, everyone. Sounds like the wrong mic. I've got a lot of wrong mic. Is the right mic now on? I've now done the change. Still on the computer mic. Edit microphone set. What is going on? I seriously don't know what happened here. Let me check this out here. Rodecaster Pro. This is supposed to be on now. Better? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm just trying to get there. Just trying to make this right. This is not the comeback that I wanted. This is not the way a national champion is supposed to start the damn show. Audio.
Better now? I hope we are better now, for goodness sakes. I think we'll maybe be better now. I think I just touched the right thing to make this better. Either way, you let me know in the comments if we get better. Okay, good. I think we got it. All right, everybody. Indiana, we're all for you. Okay, I'll spare you. Okay, I sang that a few times over the past weekend. Now we're back. Now we're ready. Now we're good. Thank you very much. Got my man Carl in here. Got Habes telling me we're good. There we go. We're good. Glad we are good. And let me just say, before we really get into the meat of this, the amount of love that this group, that this crew has shown me, the amount of love that the internet actually spit at me saying, Damon, you're the only person I've ever met in my life who even talked about Indiana football. So this is really something for you. I had producers coming out of the woodworks who's, you know, I worked with for like 8 months and then they were gone from the radio industry. People that I've never honestly, I haven't thought about in years. My phone blew up. I had 300, 400 messages. It was something else. Really, really great. Let me tell you, I got a really, really great situation for you that I want you to take great advantage of. I want you to start by getting something freaking delicious from my man, Ike. Right now, Ike's Catering is offering $49 off an order of $250 or more. Look, you've got championship, you got title game Sunday coming up, big games in the NFL. We all know the Super Bowl's around the corner. If you want to really impress the party you're going to, show up with a box of sandwiches from Ike's. Again, $250 more in catering order. $49 off when you use promo code SAVE49. So there you go. Thank you for doing that. Hopefully that sounds good to you. It certainly sounds really good to me. We always say, let's go get a beer at the Dubliner. I mean, Kenny and John, great guys. I'm sorry that their 49er season is over, but obviously football season is not over for the Dubliner. Warriors season, that has did it ever really start? It will continue at the Dubliner. At least you got the Sharks, baby. Sharks.
Gay Sharks.
Go Sharks, indeed. And get yourself to the Dubliner. We also want to say thank you so much to our friends at Sleeper. Still plenty of opportunities for you to win and win big at Sleeper. Cook up your own parlays. Look at the entire world as it lays out before you and make the good choices. Make sure that you sign up using promo code Damon. You get $100 when you sign up, matching up to $100 by clicking on the link below in the very live stream that you are watching right now with crystal clear audio now that we've improved it. And use promo code Damon there as well. Thanks to everyone for holding down the fort while I wasn't here. Appreciate it very, very much. We're going to put this up right here. Hold on. Where's my watermark? There that is. Let me get the logo back up. There that is. You know what might have happened? I think the boys came down here and might have moved some things around while I was gone. So maybe that was a part of the lovely situation we find ourselves in. Okay. The combine is in the last week of February. Needless to say, this is one of the most important weeks of football for the 49ers to go and evaluate talent. And the talent that they've evaluated and how they evaluate it, it's a question. It's a question. I mean, I don't think John Lynch is necessarily the only guy for the job. And I would like John Lynch to bring in another set of eyes to help him through either drafting the right guy to begin with, avoid drafting the wrong guy to begin with, or when you do draft a guy, you actually draft a guy that your head coach will consider playing. Considering Kyle Shanahan really is the X marks the spot of all decisions, when we talk about maybe getting Kyle removed from the decision-making or John Lynch getting removed, maybe it's time Kyle Shanahan takes a little bit of a backseat because his instincts continue to bring him to players that he does not play, that does not use. It is just, it's time. It is officially time to hit some bigger picks or pick some players that actually aren't redshirted but participate in the following season. The fact that Jordan James didn't get his first carry until the divisional round is patently absurd, and it's borderline, are you kidding me, as you look around the 49ers. How come that guy didn't get a taste? Not a taste. You know, they trade for Brian Robinson Jr., one of the least productive, worst trades the 49ers ever made. They hardly used the guy. What was the point of that? You know, well, a little Christian McCaffrey insurance policy. Were you waiting for Christian McCaffrey to officially be in a 15-car highway pileup before you actually got to Brian Robinson Jr.? Again, stop making moves that don't give you a player that you play. That is the very first step in a successful offseason. Stop adding either via trade, free agency, or through the draft players that you instantly decide do not play for the San Francisco 49ers. That sounds like a pretty simple step, but they continue to trip over that step. So that's the big theme. Add players you're actually gonna fucking play. Let's start with that. I know it sounds pretty rudimentary, pretty elementary, dear Watson, but it has to start that way. It absolutely does. The new league year and free agency starts on March 11th. The legal tampering period starts on March 9th. Now, when it comes to the legal tampering, I got to tell you, there aren't a lot of names that you're just going to run to free agency, knock on that door early. I think a careful evaluation of free agency is what the 49ers are going to need to make. I think that they need to go and sign the best free agent wide receiver that fits their system. Number one, they draft the position so staggeringly poorly that I don't trust them to. And I need a player, the Niners need a player to show up who actually has an opportunity to get on the field and change things a little bit. My number one name in free agency at wide receiver, if I'm the 49ers this year, is Alec Pierce. I'm going after Alec Pierce. He is the field stretcher that this team has not had in what feels like forever. Really. It's been a long time since this team had an actual downfield threat who could do something. I think Alec Pierce fits the mold of the guy who will create the space for the rest of the wide receiving core to absolutely work in and work under. So I am going after Alec Pierce in free agency if I'm the 49ers. Romeo Doubs is another name that's out there. Wandale Robinson, who is a tough SOB and makes all kinds of catches in traffic, I think he would fit. And then there's going to be Juwan Jennings. And a decision there about Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings to me sounds like he's going to be a little sour grapes if the Niners offer him anything other than top value. He knows that he saved their bacon once again. I think he's going to want to be paid for what he's done and what he's about to do. And there's no doubting his value to this team. But his value in the NFL, I do not think brings him to that $20 million a year wide receiver. So can you bring back Juwan Jennings for a deal that is kumbaya? If you can, you should. But I'm also really taking a look at Alec Pierce if I'm the 49ers. He was with the Colts for the last few years. He is a field stretcher. I think he would be exactly the other guy that this team hasn't had at the position in a very, very long time. If you want to throw some draft capital at the Philadelphia Eagles, for A.J. Brown, I would have that conversation too. I know A.J. Brown had a little malcontent of a finish with the Eagles, but that was a very frustrating offense with a very frustrating quarterback and an offensive coordinator that has since been fired. A.J. Brown, to me, is a hell of a player that if you can bring that guy in, he would also change the 49ers offense instantly. A dynamic player and a guy who could change things. I would absolutely check that out. First super since becoming a national champion at the collegiate level. Thank you very much. Matty Pup 1005 saying, what do you think trading Mac Jones would yield you? It would yield you incredible exposure should Brock Purdy get hurt again. That's what it would yield you. I don't think I am trading Mac Jones if I am the San Francisco 49ers, but rather retaining him to be the ultimate insurance policy. And if he goes out there and he plays a little next year, again, I think the price of Mac Jones goes up. A little mystery coming off this year. I don't know if he would lose value backing up Purdy once again. He seems to be an ultimate kind of team player guy. Yes, he wants the reins, but he's not going to rattle his saber if he doesn't have the reins. I am not coming off of Mac Jones for anything other than a huge overspend on the team that was making the offer. So what would be that offer? Mac Jones, if you get me to the second round, we can talk. If you're putting a second rounder and maybe even another player on the table for Mac Jones, we can talk about that. But not a third, not a fourth, not a day three guy. No, I am holding on to Mac Jones for sure. Grotz on the win. Things like O-line, then O-line, that's where we're going here, Steve Sheridan. That is exactly where we're going. Because what the 49ers have to do this offseason, I know that already there's been a drumbeat for adding Kyle Pitts. And they do need a succession plan behind George Kittle. But they've also got a couple of tight ends already on their team that I'm kind of going to war with next year. Not that Luke Farrell impressed us really in any way, shape, or form, but he's on the freaking team. So there you go. He is a pro. That's fine. I think Jake Tongas is ready to take a big step forward as an offensive weapon wide receiver. So does this team. There's been talk about Kyle Pitts. Now, I think the Falcons could and should franchise tag him or just sit down and renegotiate a big deal for Kyle Pitts. But if he walks, that would change, I think, the calculus for the 49ers a little bit. Kyle Pitts is the guy that you then go and sign to be your tight end one, and that includes the return of George Kittle, who's going to come back as damaged goods with all sorts of love and house credit. We love George Kittle. Having those two guys in an offense would be something else, and that way if Kittle comes back and he just, Mr. ain't what he used to be, there you go. You've got Kyle Pitts. Having a tight end that is a weapon, I think, is essential to Brock Purdy's success. So that has to happen. Absolutely needs to happen. Alec Pierce, go get him. AJ Brown, let's talk about a trade. If Mac Jones can fetch me a King's ransom, then I'm talking about Mac Jones. Anything other than King's ransom for Mac Jones, I'd rather have Mac Jones. And Kyle Pitts is the biggest maybe out there. If he hits the market, I go after that hard. I'm also signing the very best center I can. Jake Brendel, thanks for the memories, dude. It's just not good enough. I don't care. The Niners are fooling themselves. If they come back with another year of Jake Brendel, they deserve everything they get. I'm going after either Connor McGovern of the Bills, who is an unrestricted free agent, and Ethan Pochich of the Cleveland Browns is another guy that I would absolutely go after as a center to rebuild this offensive line. And that brings us to the NFL draft, which is starting on April 23rd, going through the 25th. It's a big weekend in Pittsburgh. And to me, this team needs to be O-line, first round. Anything else feels a little negligent. Now, I've got a defensive tackle that if he's there, maybe. Edge rusher, maybe. I know linebacker is a position that they have to figure out, and what you do there in free agency could change this, but I don't think you can spend any time on looking at linebacker in the first round. You've made a massive investment in Brock Purdy. You need to protect that investment. You need a Trent Williams succession plan, and you need one now, not before it's too late. To me, there are two names that are absolutely blinking in neon lights. Because the Niners are picking what? A 24, 25? Where are they picking here? They're early 20s. And Caden Proctor, who is an offensive lineman, a tackle from Alabama. He's 6'7", 396. I'm taking Caden Proctor, and I'm saying that feels really good to me. If Proctor's off the board, it's Jennings Dunker, tackle from Iowa, 6'5", 315. Another guy who I think could absolutely kick inside as he waits to assume that tackle spot. If you're back with another season of, you know, Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz being your starting tackles, I'm good with that. I think you could kick a guy like Jennings Dunker inside. Cassius Howell is an edge rusher from Texas A&M. I would approach with a little caution because he is undersized at 6'2", 248. I think you can get a guy like, you know, Kamara from Indiana, who blocked that punt in the national title game, which was a really big moment, who just shows himself, I might be undersized, but I got an awful lot of on-field value in special teams. I can get to the quarterback. I'm good at playing the run. I do think there's quite a bit of good defensive line value on day three in this upcoming draft. There's a lot of good defensive linemen out there. The amount of really good offensive linemen, that becomes sand funneling through an hourglass like almost immediately. Go and get either Caden Proctor from Alabama or Jennings Dunker from Iowa. Do it. That, to me, is the first round pick. I'm going tackle. I'm going offensive lineman. Another kid named Caleb Lomu, offensive lineman out of Utah, is another name that I would absolutely be comfortable with seeing them, because both Proctor and Dunker were gone. Caleb Lomu, offensive lineman from Utah. He's 6'6", 304, absolute stud, very good pass protector, good against the good run blocker. I'm going after him, but he would be my third choice. Another Caden McDonald is a defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Getting better in the middle is something that needs to be done at all times. I also, Cassius Howell, 11 and a half sacks at Texas A&M. This team needs some edge. But you saw right on the part of the thumbnail that you clicked on today. I got Nick Bosa right in the middle doing this. Because Nick Bosa coming back and being Nick Bosa once again is something that is just a must, an absolute must. A healthy year out of Nick Bosa. How do you get that? Do you have to put the Chernobyl sarcophagus over the damn EMT station? If that's what it takes, do it. Trade Mac for two picks, get a wide receiver in free agency, draft O-line, D-line. Again, I don't know if you're going to get two for Mac. And if you do, they're going to be day three. I want a second rounder for Mac. I want a king's ransom. I want someone to overspend for Mac Jones, or I'm not coming off what I know. Here's the thing. Whatever you trade Mac Jones for in the draft is a might be. Keeping Mac Jones means you absolutely have the second best or the best backup quarterback in football. I really think you can look at Mac Jones as saying he is number one at his position of backup quarterback. And I'm not coming off of players who are number one at their position if I'm the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, Brock Purdy, you're going to get hit. This is an offensive line that will be in a flux year. They're about to lose some talent. They're about to see some guys, I think, taking a little step back. I am reinvesting in offensive line every single chance I get because keeping Purdy upright is just so important. You just had Christian McCaffrey be robbed of about 400 yards of offense. I really believe that by bad offensive line play in front of him. McCaffrey should have done even more. They asked him to do everything. He was like, okay, I'll go ahead and I'll do everything for you. He would have done even more had this offensive line been better. A little bit more from McCaffrey maybe means you win one more game, which means now you are officially the one seed and you didn't have George Kittle going and tearing his Achilles in Philadelphia. And there is a butterfly effect of not getting that one seed that really hurt the 49ers. There's no doubt. Throw on the pads, Damon. The team needs you. Show your heart. Time to prove your fandom. I think you're good for one series. Sunday living, not only would I get myself killed, but anyone behind me would get killed too. Thank you very much for the super. But we don't want to get an entire NFL team just instantly hurt. I know there's talk, I see here, there's talk about George Pickens already. I think the Cowboys are going to throw a bank at him. I don't think he is going to be on the market. And if he is, I'm treading lightly in that direction. You know, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan can say, you know, persnickety overpaid wide receivers are his specialty. What the hell just happened with Brandon Ayuk? What the hell happened with Deebo Samuel? Why did that relationship sour so much? I think the underpaid, happy to be here, I'm going to work hard for you guy is more in the mold of what Shanahan coaches well than the diva receiver who thinks he's God's gift to free, you know, to the position. But this is a huge offseason for the 49ers. Hit on your picks. Go out and sign the best center you can. Improve from Jake Brendel. Do not let Jake Brendel be the standard. Look to improve upon them. Get your Trent Williams succession plan in place. Go get Alec Pierce, who can officially stretch your field. And then no matter what collection of just the other guys you have, because look, the Niners led, or well, one of the second best passing offenses in football this year with just dudes. Kyle can work with dudes, make the dudes work easy by having one dude who gives them some space to operate in. This everybody needs to run a 4-2, that doesn't exist, and they don't need it. Yeah, it'd be nice. Just get guys who get open and catch the ball. Brock will get it there. I really believe that. Connor McGovern. If the Bills let him go, go after him. Ethan Pochich, if he's available, if the Browns don't resign him, go get him. You know, is it sexy talking offensive linemen and centers? Not really. But that's what the Niners need because I just saw with my own two eyes this team figure it out with just dudes all season long. And I think they'd still be playing if they didn't get their asses whipped in the trenches by the Seahawks. Again, you are playing the Seattle Seahawks. You are playing against the Rams. One of those teams is going to be playing for a Super Bowl in your goddamn stadium. Why are they there? Yeah, we all know there's some talent. There's some skill. They win in the trenches. The Niners were unable to win in the trenches this year, and that's why the year came up short. You know, Kendrick Bourne, is he exciting? No, but Kyle can get like 2-3 big games a year out of that SOB, which means you can get 2-3 big games a year out of just about anybody in this league. I don't need sexy, I don't need sizzle, and I certainly don't need diva at wide receiver. My man Ike is in here. Good to see you, Ike. Let me tell you, I looking forward to seeing you on Radio Row. I was having a little meeting today with guys I'm going to be on Radio Row with this upcoming Super Bowl for coverage, and I told them about the sandwiches that were going to be coming their way with my name on them. Again, get Brock slow receivers. I didn't hear anyone say that, but I don't think it matters. I think Brock's going to find the open. Get guys, get her open. That's it. And I think the slower receivers that had an awful lot of success this year are going to get more open if a guy like Alec Pierce is just a real threat to take the lid off. You know, go get Brock big body wide receivers. Napalm, that's why, look, if A.J. Brown is out there, I'd take a look at that. I would take a look at that. So, needless to say, we are going to have the next 12-14 weeks to talk about this, to talk about what the offseason plans are. Today does not need to be the day we lay out the comprehensive map that must be followed. All that comes in the coming days and weeks and months. We got a lot of time till free agency. We got a lot of time to the draft. I think I saw my buddy Carl on here saying that we are going into like the abyss, the desert of sports talk. I could see how radio would have a problem with that. Radio's got to fill all those hours with people who really aren't qualified to fill them in the first place. So that's going to be an abyss of content. This will not be. This will not be. We will never waste your time. We will never give you a whole bunch of just repetitive bullshit. We are going to be on target with what needs to happen. And I hope you plan on liking and subscribing and being here for this entire off season, because this is the year the channel blows up. We're over 50. It's going to we're going to 100,000. It's going to happen. We're going. And believe me, I am living proof that absolutely anything can happen in sports. Don't you ever not believe yourself, because the unbelievable came believable in Miami on Martin Luther King Jr. Day at Hard Rock Stadium. Tested in a way they hadn't been tested since the Big Ten title game. And by the way, Bane Jr. from Miami, that is one of the biggest one-man wrecking crew talents I've seen coming out of college in a long time. Holy shit, that guy can play. He can play. Indiana could hardly get a lick in on Carson Beck, but I knew Beck was going to make the big mistake. And sure enough, when it was needed, it happened at the most critical time. Carson Beck throwing a game-ending interception to give Indiana its first national championship and college first football's first ever undefeated national champion at 16-0 through the playoff format. The Big Ten has now won three national championships in a row. The first one should not count because Jim Harbaugh was a unscrupulous cheating fucker of the first degree. And we all know that. Michigan, seriously. Well, you cannot be trusted, you sons of bitches. But I had one of the greatest nights of my life. Yeah, outside of my kids being born and the night I met Jillian and the night I married her, that was a top five night in my life. And it's certainly the number one sporting event I've ever been to in my life in terms of just pure emotion, pure adrenaline. Not being there as a member of the media made it so much fun because I was just a fan. And God, did I have a good time. Let me also show you what it looked like in footage that you have not seen. Let me get this up here and playing. My friend Tom Ackerman was there as a member of the media and did take this footage of the game. This is right after the interception that basically sealed this game. Turn this down. They don't need to really hear it. But this is the moment. Victory formation happened. There it is. This is what it's like to be on the field in the middle of that chaos. My buddy Tom just took out his cell phone and just started filming. And you can see the cameras everywhere. Everyone's looking to get their content. But the confetti has fallen, and it was just remarkable. Let me tell you, tailgate was a tough customer for three reasons. The lots are very much segregated from each other because there is a Formula One track around that damn stadium that is there all the time. That is a permanent Formula One track. So there's all these huge gates that you cannot walk through, cannot go through. And it meant that if your buddies were tailgating in another lot and you really wanted to see those buddies, unfortunately, you could not get to them. That was the only negative getting into that game. There were several tailgates we wanted to go and stop by and see some friends with and just couldn't. Just couldn't. And that stunk. There was also, obviously, the security that comes with the national championship game. Then you had the president showing up. So it was tough to move around that stadium. Outside. The other thing tough about that stadium wasn't that the Miami fans were intimidating. We dwarfed it. There was Indiana fans took that building over to at least a percentage of 60-40. At the very, very least, it happened. But man, what a bunch of unwelcoming douchebag Miami fans really were. Now, we met a couple really nice folks, but I'd say the vast majority of Miami fans were just some punk-ass bitches. I mean, they really were. Absolutely. I mean, I was wildly unimpressed by their ability to be classy even for a minute. And the worst among them, were the little 23-year-old MAGA douchebags who thought that they were clever and were really chirpy throughout the game. And then even as they're losing a national championship, you quit chirping. Like, if you don't know when to shut up, you have been raised wrong as a fan. Like, you've lost. Well, we lost because we missed a field goal. Yeah, get a better kicker. Get better players. You guys only won because you got a whole bunch of older guys on your team. Carson Beck has not been to college for like 3 years. Has he gone to a class? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're going to watch the film. We're going to get better for next year.
Let me continue to let this roll for you for a second. I got to take a leak. I'll be right back. Enjoy the celebration.
I mean, that's just a testament to how strong of a bond and how much brotherhood we have on this team. You know, these are the most special guys, and I mean, they're my family now, and I'll die for them. And I just love these guys so much. They're willing to die on the field, and I love him so much.
And there's the man. There's the psychopath himself. Oh, Cignetti, what a job he did. It's one of the greatest jobs of all time. By the way, Stafford just named MVP. Is that officially released today? Is that the... No, I don't see this. Yes, we are. Stafford won the MVP. Now, by the way, of the world. All right. Just awesome stuff. Thanks, my buddy Tom, for sending me that video. So Stafford just won the MVP. Did you see how poorly he played in Chicago? He had one of the worst games that any quarterback has had and come out winning a playoff game. Did you see that Josh Allen, who is maybe pound for pound the best quarterback on the planet right now, just went absolutely belly up and fumbled and turned the ball over savagely? Can you imagine if Brock Purdy did any of that? Can you imagine for a second if Brock Purdy had the game that CJ Stroud had in New England, where he's literally looking afraid every single time they zoom inside of his face mask? Great quarterbacks can have bad games. Great quarterbacks can have bad games. The minute Brock does anything wrong, there's a whole bunch of you that want to get him out. It's just insane. And yes, you know what? Jim, you're right. Stafford was clutch in overtime. Not at all. In the four quarters that preceded it, nothing happened. Nothing happened. There are people who actually think what you're watching on a football Sunday in the NFL is easy. None of it is easy. None of it is easy. Stafford had a tremendous year. But I actually think that he was in a system that has been established around him, that has the right players and pieces and a coach who's been there and done that. I actually think Drake May had a better claim to MVP just because he's had less around him and he's with a first-year head coach. Well, a first-year in New England anyways, in Mike Vrabel. I think it could have gone to Drake May, and I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Again, I don't have a problem with it being Stafford either. The NFC West was a monster this year. Again, Stafford versus the Seahawks. One of the Rams and the Seahawks are going to be playing for a Super Bowl at freaking Levi's Stadium. You will be rooting for the AFC if you're a Niners fan. And by the way, it's hard for me to say that I will be a Raiders fan, but I will be rooting for Fernando Mendoza no matter what that kid does the rest of his life. So I guess technically, I'm going to be rooting for an element of Raiders success. But let me tell you what this does. This just brings me back into a Raider conversation with a more critical eye than before. And if they get it wrong around Mendoza, I'm going to start crucifying Raiders decisions once again, like I used to. Remember, I told Jack Del Rio right to his face, this shit ain't good enough, Jack. They didn't like that. He didn't like that. We did not get along after a couple conversations where he realized I wasn't going to be a cheerleader for him. I'm not going to be some cheerleader for the Raiders now that Mendoza is going to be the number one pick in the draft. But they better protect him the way that the 49ers better protect Brock Purdy. And if they fail to do that again, if the 49ers fail to build a wall in front of their franchise quarterback, they deserve whatever they get. And I'm not going to be friendly about giving it to them. We know what the deal is. You have watched the tape. You see what the NFL has become. It is trench warfare of the very first degree. And if you don't have the right offensive line to protect your quarterback through that warfare, you're in a lot of trouble. Speaking of warfare, if you want to know, if you truly want to know when I knew for sure Indiana was going to win the national championship game, it was when Kirk Cignetti had that press conference after Holly Rowe. And I don't get the Holly Rowe phenomenon. I don't understand how she has not been moved on from in terms of this is the only sideline reporter we can bring into college football games. But Holly Rowe, who offers very little other than a sweet conversation, she had that video, you might have seen it. She was walking out of that very last Indiana practice and she's like, there was so much emotion. I could cry. These seniors were hugging each other and loving each other and just, they've been through so much together. Oh, I could cry. The very next day at the press conference, questions like that is what Cignetti was asked a question about. this emotional practice. And he says, look, you know, our seniors have been together a long time. That was their last practice, and that's a little bit of a sentimental moment. But sentimental time is done. It's time to sharpen the saw, he said. And he said, you don't bring warm cookies and milk to a war. You don't gonna go into a war serving warm cookies and milk, warm milk and cookies. And I just thought, that's it. Indiana's going to be focused. They're going to get this done. The better team won. Maybe not the team with the most talent. And that's what that's the thing Miami fans could not comprehend. You have more talent. This is a better football team. The most amount of talent on the field does not mean you have the best football team. The best coached, the most disciplined team is the best team. By the way, if Cignetti had been hired by Miami instead of Mario Cristobal, they have three national championships already. My God, if you can win one national championship in 2 years at Indiana, what might he have done had he gone to a team that was a raring bona fide college powerhouse to begin with? I mean, is it possible to win infinity national championships in 2 years? Is it possible to go back in time and reclaim national championships that other teams would have won? I mean, Cignetti would have figured out a way to do it. This guy is, he's on the spectrum, man. He is I guarantee you, he has already watched tape on North Texas, Indiana's opening opponent for next season. I guarantee you he's already grinding North Texas tape. The guy's insane, and I love him. Love him for it. Again, a few more supers are in here. Sunday Levin says, I'm sure you covered it, but quick thoughts on Little Mendoza declaring for the draft. There's no Little Mendoza. What do you mean? No, there's Fernando is in the draft. His brother is in the transfer portal, and I believe, did we see already who he signed with? He's going to another team. Alberto's gone, but Indiana signed Hoover, kid from TCU who leads the nation currently in active college passing yards. Indiana is going full-on portal combat. This ain't over. Here's the thing. A lot of people want to tell me, Indiana, incredible year, but it's one and done because you're not a sustainable program. Bullshit. This is only the beginning. The usurper to the throne has reached the throne and is not going to just give it up. Ohio State, Michigan, you live in Bloomington now. And by the way, Miami, that was the thing that I had to tell every single Miami fan that wouldn't stop flapping their gums, either online or in person. I said, say whatever you want. This is our town now. Miami is the southernmost tip of the state of Indiana now. We will feel at home there forever. We literally won a national championship on your field, you bitch ass losers. You losers. Oh, one last thing to tell you about. So it is, I'm not even kidding. It's 4:45 in the morning. I'm back in the hotel, and there was a guy who was wearing a Miami jersey. And me and my friends get in the same elevator, and this guy, I don't know where he got it from, but he's got a pizza at like 4:30 in the morning. He's got a pizza, and he's standing in the hotel, he's standing in the elevator, and he's kind of in the middle of it. And my friends, the four of us, are kind of around him. And no, that's the thing. It was me, Ackerman, and Benny. And it was another guy who was wearing candy stripe pants. He got just in too. And the elevator's door closes, and I'm like, should we sing the fight song? This guy with the pizza just stood there and acted like I just said something bad about his mother. Just pure silence, no nothing. What a bitch. Seriously. This guy. So we were talking about like what we should have done on the way out. We should have been like, hey, man, can I have a slice of pizza? Considering, you know, we just ruined your program with a historical victory. You know, what are you going to do? And be like, Miami's got five national championships. Well, not when you played Indiana. You got no national championships that night. I don't care what your history is. On tonight, you just took it. And we gave it to you. and this is our town now. Miami is the southernmost tip of Indiana from here on, forever going forward. That is Indiana property. I was text messaging Uncle Luke, and I said, basically, congratulations. You're a Hoosier now. Whether you wanted to be or not, we have annexed your city. This is our town now. You're a Hoosier. And Two Live Crew is an Indiana band. Congratulations. All the Lamborghinis, all those models. I'll tell you, man, Miami is really, really impressive as a city. That thing is popping up. I mean, it is. There are more skyscrapers there than ever before. It's beautiful. This is Lick Scorpion saying, Damon, congrats on your Hoosiers. Also watch Kurt Warner QB study about Brock offenses, Seattle defense. Makes a case that Brock had the opportunities. I mean, might have had opportunities. The entire game was over at kickoff. You know, I guarantee you Brock would have had opportunities. Had the game not been over before he even stepped on the field, he would have had opportunities. That sucked, man. That Seahawk game sucked. There's no pretending he didn't, that it didn't. And by the way, Sunday, right, he signed with Georgia Tech. He's a rambling wreck, and good for him. What is this? Raiders better not fail this kid, Bruce. Well, Tito, all I can tell you is that the Raiders basically screw up everything. Hopefully Mendoza is their first step out of complete incompetence. I do like Spytek. I do like his decisions. Mendoza being paired with Tom Brady, that is exactly the mentor he's always wanted. That's a hell of a guy to be, you know, your own personal trash heap and give you the advice along the way. This is a very good point here by Can't Get Right 929. Bob Stoops won early and never won again. Bob Stoops is a clown compared to Kurt Cignetti. We're talking about one of the five greatest college football coaches in the history of the sport right now. Bob Stoops is not even in the conversation. Cignetti, what he has done, has entered himself in a level of pure dominance, and it's no small sample size because he's won like this everywhere. Everywhere he's been, now he's just doing it at the highest profile. Bob Stoops is a football clown compared to Cignetti. And he lived in a world that didn't allow him to just go out and reload the way that Cignetti is about to. Don't ever bring up another coach other than Nick Saban or Newt Rockne or Vince Lombardi or Bill Walsh in the same breath with Kirk Cignetti. He is sitting on the one line of all-time greatest coaches. He's Red Auerbach. He is one of the all-timers right now. The statue cannot be built high enough. That is not being a prisoner of the moment. That just happened. Let me show you one other thing. This was so great. My buddy Ackerman from down on the field got this picture. He took that picture. Look at that. What a pick. That's going to be framed and on my desk by the end of the week. Another, that's going to be framed and on my desk forever, is this. This is me, Ben Sabrin, and Tom Ackerman outside of the stadium about 90 minutes after the game had ended. You can see that the parking lot had cleared out behind us because Tom was doing some media stuff. We stayed in there for a very, very long time. These are the widest smiles you ever see. I mean, this just you cannot find three happier dudes on the planet than that right there. Oh, it was a gift. It was a sports gift to my soul. I needed that. And I tell you, Niners fans, I know why you want your Super Bowl so bad. I do. And hopefully you get it. Hopefully you do get it, because a championship in football means more than anything. It just means more than anything. And Banana, when is that IU helmet going to go up on the blue shelf? Hey, we'd have to create a little hole for that, but I bet you we could. Look at it this way. There's a birthday coming up. I might do a little shopping for myself. Unbelievable. Thank you, Hand Banana. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to so many of you who pitched on in and bought me a beer at the national title game. I had a few of them, and I thought of you guys every single time I went and got myself one. It's such a special and fun thing. I hope you all get that championship. I really do. And I'm going to tell you right now, as much as I love basketball and Indiana basketball, winning a college basketball championship is this. Winning a football national championship is this. The way that my university is going to change, the amount of glorious free press and marketing that they've gotten over the last 72 hours is the equivalent of whatever they were given a decade before, including basketball coverage. I've never seen Indiana this much in the circulation of conversations that everyone is having and mattering. This is going to bring hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars to the university. And even the kid who doesn't want anything to do with sports, doesn't care about sports, will benefit from this championship. Better professors, better teachers, more opportunities, greater global exposure all come with this national championship. There will be more on-field on-campus construction than ever before. The donors come back. The billionaires come back. All of it. Every bit of windfall that you could ever hope for your college is now coming to Indiana. And it means so much to me. I mean, this is a really, really big deal. And it's going to change, I think, Indiana's standing in sports for the remainder of our lifetimes. And let me tell you, with the single biggest, largest living alumni body in America, the giant has awoken. The sleeping giant is here. Never daunted, I'm sad to say I spent $600 on an IU championship belt from the WWE store the minute the game ended. That's aggressive. That's aggressive. The championship belt, which is, you know, what are you, like the Intercontinental champ with that? But whatever. Hey, if you really like wrestling, I could see how that would be your end all be all of this is what I want. I'm going to get a couple t-shirts. I'm not going to be spending $600 on a championship wrestling belt, but I'm glad you did, and send me a picture of it. Never daunted. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. God, that was awesome. It was so much fun. And the game was a thriller. I mean, it kept everybody in America watching to the end. It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't blowout city. It was just special. What's this? Didn't know until this run that Cuban was an IU alumni. Hand Banana. I've tried to get Mark on the show. I've had him on my radio show in the past, and I think the alumni connection helped. But yeah, I'll try to book Cubes as quickly as I can. Oh, what a moment. It was incredible. It was absolutely historic. And on that note, let me bring you to today in history. By the way, I'm going to take an incredible nap today. I'm still exhausted from the entire run. I really am. That was something else. But here we go. Here we go. Today in history, we start with our birthdays. Get out of his dreams, get into his car. Billy Ocean, who gave us Caribbean Queen, that song still slams. It does. Billy Ocean, 76 years old today. Gina Davis is 70 years old today. Maybe the single greatest left out of greatest of all time conversations, great player in basketball in our lifetimes that is just forgotten about. Forgotten about. Hakeem Olajuwon. Turned 63 years old today. The Dream Shake was unstoppable. He was unbelievable offensively, defensively. He had it all as a center, and he won titles. Hakeem, look at it this way. You could talk casually with someone about the NBA, and we're talking about great centers. They're going to talk about like Patrick Ewing before Hakeem Olajuwon, which is ridiculous because Hakeem Olajuwon put it on Patrick Ewing to win an NBA championship. Hakeem was just a man. The man. So happy birthday to him. You want to feel old? Here you go. Happy birthday to Emma Bunton, or as you knew her, Baby Spice. Baby Spice, the cute blonde one, 50 years old today. Happy 50th birthday to Baby Spice. God, she's my age now. Baby Spice. She was cute. I always like Scary Spice because her boobs defied gravity. They bounced all over that video where they're running over the casino. I was like, that's nice. Okay. Today in 1472, the Great Daylight Comet of 1472 was visible in daylight for 8 straight days. Now, in 1472, basically everyone walking the planet was a freaking idiot who thought when like it thundered, the gods were angry. So can you imagine what a weird week that must have been for everyone walking on the planet in 1482? There's a comet in the sky. It's not going anywhere. There's still a comet in the sky. There's a comet in the sky. We don't even know what a comet is. Is that a god or are the gods angry at us? Imagine. I think probably, though, in 1472 would have handled it better than we would have here in 2026, because now everybody is a social media douchebag who just throws conspiracy theories at anything. Be like, oh, the Jewish space lasers are out. What is a doctor's pledge? A doctor is supposed to do no harm, right? Well, today in 1790, Dr. Joseph Guillotine proposed a little something that you know as the guillotine to the newly formed National Assembly of Paris as a humane method of execution. That's the humane method of execution? I mean, I guess it's over very quickly for the person who is being guillotined, but that's a rough watch. That's a tough one, just slicing heads off. Again, humane, I guess, was a little humane slapped differently in 1790. Guillotine. Happy birthday, guillotine. Today in 1911, the very first Monte Carlo rally took place. 23 cars. That became the Monte Carlo, you know, F1 race at this point. But Monte Carlo took its spot on the international racing scene today in 1911. Today in 1954, the very first atomic submarine. Do you know its name? Yes, you do. The USS Nautilus was launched in Groton, Connecticut, which is still the home of the United States submarine fleet. And that was officially commissioned later that year and put in a... There you go. I'm telling you, man. When you talk about, like, warfare, you don't think about submarines. You should, because they're the most deadly sons of bitches around. Nuclear submarines, I remember when we found out in my life that... Hey, my uncle doesn't just work for GE. My uncle builds nuclear submarines. That was like top secret information even in the family. And we found that out. And it's like, oh, Uncle Phil does what? He's building the biggest weapons of war on the planet? All right, Uncle Phil. Let's see. Today in 1970, the Boeing 747 made its very first commercial flight between New York and London. So happy birthday, Boeing 747. 747 coming out of the sky. Gonna take you down to Memphis on a midnight ride. I wanna move. Playing in a traveling band. It's the only plane serial number, or I guess model type, that gets shouted out, right? And I guess you get high or get fly like a G6. That's a private plane. This is a commercial flight we're talking about. In the biggest possible gathering of virgins to date, today in 1972, the very first Star Trek convention was held in New York City. Not a lot of chicks walking around that Star Trek convention. Can't help but notice. Dorks. I was never into Star Trek, not for a day, not for a moment. I thought that whole show was kind of lame. The only thing cool about Star Trek was the Enterprise. Like, that was a cool looking spaceship, but it was no Millennium Falcon. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, today's the day that basically started Pluto getting DFA'd out of the planet and getting demoted to the minor leagues, because today in 1979, Neptune officially became the outermost planet as Pluto moved on what was a highly elliptical tilted orbit, which means this is more of a celestial body than a planet. And the discussion of Pluto being demoted as an official planet out of our solar system began today in 1979. And sorry, downgraded Pluto, but the jig was up today in 79. Regular Ryan. Neptune wally-pipped Pluto. It did. Neptune wally-pipped Pluto. There you go. That happened. We haven't seen Pluto in the lineup since. Today in 1990, I truly believe, you know, when we talk about what did MTV really contribute to society? Like, I'm not talking about Snooki and Jersey Shore and that trash. I'm talking about, like, what good came out of MTV? You know, those early videos are just packed with nostalgia that we all love, that's for sure. But to me, the single greatest gift MTV ever gave the world of music was the Unplugged series. And what is the greatest unplug is to be debated. Nirvana comes to mind. 10,000 Maniacs Unplugged comes to mind. LL Cool J's Unplugged was incredible. Arrested Development's Unplugged is as good as any Unplugged that's ever been. Eric Clapton's Unplugged, obviously that went on to go win the Grammy for Album of the Year, I believe. His Unplugged was a monster. It all started with Squeeze. Squeeze was the very first Unplugged on MTV, and it premiered today in 1990. Squeeze would take him to the bridge, throw him overboard, see if they can swim back into the shore. And that Squeeze. But Tempted by the Fruit of Another, that's another good Squeeze song. And there's a couple good Squeeze songs. There really were. Speaking of Squeeze, today in 1998, we officially all learned the name Monica Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton affair got published. What the Star Report officially, I think, came out later. But this was the news of Monica Lewinsky. And President Bill Clinton said today in 1998, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yes, I did. I am a Arkansas poonhound of the first degree is what I really mean. And what I mean is I loved it. Oh, Bill. Remember when that was the single greatest disgraceful moment in the history of the White House and the presidency? Look at where we are today. Ugh. Don't want to get into it, because I do want to end on this good note, and this feels important. Because today is National New England Clam Chowder Day. Now, I'm a fan of Manhattan clam chowder, too. I like mixing a little New England clam chowder, Manhattan clam chowder, and you get Connecticut clam chowder at that point. It's like pink. But I love New England clam chowder. One of the best bowls of New England clam chowder I've ever had is at this place called the Splash Cafe in Pismo Beach. I didn't think that New England clam chowder could be that good on the West Coast. Indeed, it was. My buddy Larry, who was a chef, also made one of the greatest bowls of New England clam chowder I've ever had in my life. Too bad he's not chefing anymore, so I'm not even going to tell you where you can't go get it. I'd just tease you about it if I told you even more. Oh, by the way, talking Billy Bong, you're totally right. The Alice in Chains Unplugged was fantastic. And the Stone Temple Pilots. The Stone Temple Pilots Unplugged was great. Indeed, it was. Michelle knows what's up. Splash Cafe and Pismo slaps. It does. It does. Call it transference of success. Call it whatever you will. I feel like a national champion today. Walking through airports, just bumping into tons of Indiana gear, just traveling around from all over the country. They came into Miami. There were so many Indiana fans in Atlanta. I flew Delta, so I connected in Atlanta, coming in and out of Atlanta. I mean, we're just crossing the concourses to just high five everyone, the total strangers, the camaraderie, the sense of community, the sense of alumni, the sense of school pride that came with all of this was just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you to everyone who has helped watch, support, spread the word of Damon Bruce Plus. It means so much to me. Thank you to everyone who offered up a super. Thanks for all the chatting today. Really love you. Really, really love you. I mean it. The only thing that I basically wasn't able to do it. I was too much in the zone. But I'm sorry we missed a couple days of shows, but I was busy. I was very busy, and you seem to all totally get it. And thank you for sharing in my joy and allowing me to have it and being a wonderful group of people that I get to come out and hang out with here on YouTube. It's like nothing I'd ever hoped to experience in media, but here we are all doing it together. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.